KUNV Las Vegas, the broadcast service of UNLV.
It's nighttime with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. And now, here's Ira.
My guests are Gary Tennis Nassif, whose new CD, Sing Romance Man Sing, is out now and available at his website, GaryTennisNassif.com. That's N-A-S-S-I-F. He's also author of Stop Crying and Listen to the Music, a book that chronicles his struggles with stuttering and his father's abusive treatment. With Gary is Vinnie Falcone. You know him as a musical conductor, pianist, and author of his own book, Frankly, Just Between Us, which is a great story about his years with Frank Sinatra. Welcome both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The reason I wanted Vinny here with you, Gary, is because you're going to be singing for us in studio one of the great classics, as we say, of the Great American Songbook.
Thank you. Yes.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Well, people hear that name. It's an unusual name.
Yeah.
And you have an unusual background, as you mentioned in your book, in terms of the struggles you've had with stuttering and an abusive relationship with one of your parents. How did you overcome all that?
Well, first of all, I'm from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and I moved.
Well, Vinny and I will not hold that against you.
And I moved to Los Angeles, and I was there for a long time, and I thought I could make my dreams come true of becoming a singer, but that didn't work out, so I went to a blue-collar job painting sets for big shows like Carol Burnett and Dean Martin and many, many more. In CBS and NBC. And I never sang, but I stood in the wings and I pretended that I was doing a scene with Dean Martin and again with Carol Burnett. But that didn't happen, but I learned from them.
And that's the important thing. You learn from two of the masters.
That's right.
How did you get to Las Vegas?
I had performed here. I was featured by the great Mafalda, who is a piano virtuoso, and she was at the MGM Grand, and she heard me sing, and she said, Gary, I want to feature you for one night only in the casino. And I said, wow, what a compliment. Thank you. So the one night turned into 1 week, and the 1 week turned into 2 years. And Mafalda, the beautiful lady that she is, and the marvelous talent she is, moved out of her spotlight, gave it to me for 2 years when she featured me, and I will never forget her for that.
So when she first said one night only, for one night only, as opposed to saying for one night, for one night only. So you knew you were limited, but then obviously it turned into a long engagement.
Exactly.
How did you meet Vinny? And I'm going to ask him in a moment how he met you to see if the stories stack up.
Well, of course I knew Mafalda, the beautiful lady that she is and the beautiful pianist. But she introduced me to Frank LaSpina, and Frank he produced a television show for children in need of music. And he asked me to sing. It was a television show, and I went there and I sang with this marvelous pianist, and I thought, wow, where did Frank get him? And I didn't know about Vincent at all. And I sang with him a lot, really, a lot on television. And I kept marveling about him because he was just a dream to sing with. Just a dream. And no wonder Frank Sinatra loved him. It's just no wonder.
I'm shocked, Vinny, that Gary just didn't know who you were at the time he worked with you. I mean, I barely know who you are. And I've worked with you for years.
I don't even know who I am, Pedro. Now, that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, there's no reason why anybody should necessarily know who I am.
Well, I think in the business, certainly.
Well, among my peers and as a musician, yeah, sure. I'm known as well as I know them. And some people remember me, particularly now that a lot of Sinatra's getting shown on PBS, and I'm you know, with him on those things.
You live on in TV land.
Exactly.
What was your take on Gary Nassif when you first bumped into him?
Well, you know, singing is more than having a voice. And very few people understand that. And Gary does understand that. There are only a few singers in my lifetime with whom I've worked, and I've worked with had the good fortune to work with most of the great singers. I've been with Tony Bennett, I've been with Andy Williams, I've been with Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet and Jack Jones and so forth and so on. They know what it's about. But most singers, even with a great voice, have no idea what singing really is all about in terms of being able to project the idea of the lyricist by virtue of melody. And Gary does. And I recognize that right away. And naturally, I have no problem being his friend. Aside from the fact that he's a very nice person. But musically and artistically, he understands what I think is needed to be understood.
And as part of that, not just to be able to communicate the lyric, but to communicate it with some emotion as well.
Of course. Of course. That's what made Sinatra what he is and what he was. It was his ability to make the audience realize that he was singing to them and they understood what it was that he was trying to get across. He was an actor. You have to be an actor, but you have to know how to use the voice. You can't be screaming from the beginning of the song to the end of the song like most do. And that's just a different way to do things. And it's not, to me, the way, particularly in the Great American Songbook, where the lyrics are so sophisticated. They tell a story with sophistication, where today's lyrics, for the most part, don't. They don't have any sophistication at all. Hard word to say, isn't it?
You notice he keeps tripping on that, Gary. Speaking of tripping, so how long did it take you to overcome your stutter? And that you talk about it in your book, and we'll mention it again throughout the show, but how long did it take to overcome that stutter?
Most of my life, until I met a waitress who worked for me in my dad's steakhouse, and she was a teacher of the mentally retarded, and she said, Gary, why don't you teach art to my mentally retarded children? And I said, oh, I can't. And she said, why? I said, because I stutter. She said, you come in, and I want to have you teach this class, and we'll see. So I went in, and I saw that they were so needy, and they wanted me so much that I totally forgot about my fear, and I forgot about my stuttering. And I was me. I was fluent me for the first time. And these kids were hanging on to me like crazy. And she said, I'm going to call in the director of special education to observe you. Will you teach tomorrow? I said, of course. So I did. He came in, Gene Yonke, a wonderful man. And he said, Gary, you've got to go back to Drake and get your teaching certificate. You are magic in the classroom. I said, thank you, I appreciate it. But I did. I did go back, and I became a teacher for about 7 years. And I enjoyed the freedom. And now I'm writing two television shows that deal with that subject matter for Vincent and me. And it's for a major television show. And I'm so proud of what I'm going to create. And it's going to be for young people and for older people who think their dreams are over when they're not.
Let's take a break and ask if you two would mind coming over to the piano and to the microphone and just do one of the two songs we're going to have featured. And this one is, it had to be you, and it's by Gus Kahn, right? Mm-hmm. And it was written in the early 20th century. 1916. Amazing. Would you guys do that?
Sure. Yes.
All right, let's hear.
Love to.
Had to be you, and featuring... Yes, Vinnie Falcone on piano, and Gary Tanis Nassif on vocal.
Seems like dreams, like I always have, could be, should be making me glad. Why am I blue? It's up to you to explain. I'm thinking maybe, baby, I'll go away someday. Some way you'll come and say, it's you I need. And you'll be pleading in vain. it had to be you. I wandered around and finally found the somebody who could make me be true, could make me be blue, and even be glad just to be sad thinking of you. Some others I've seen might never be mean, might never be cross or try to be boss, but they wouldn't do, for nobody else gave me a thrill. With all your faults, I love you still. It had to be you. Wonderful you. It had to be you. Some others I've seen might never be mean, might never be cross or try to be boss, but they wouldn't do, for nobody else gave me a thrill. With all your faults, I love you still. It had to be you. Wonderful you. It had to be you.
I enjoyed that. That was great.
Thank you.
There's something about, and Vinny said it earlier, there's something about the sophistication, and you notice I didn't trip over that word. There's something about the sophistication of the lyrics in all of these songs of the Great American Songbook that render them timeless. So when you're singing, as you just did, It Had to Be You, do you feel yourself in touch with that, all of the Great American Songbook?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do. But I'd like to say something really, really important. A couple of years ago, I went to a Steve Lawrence concert, and I not only watched the great Steve Lawrence sing, but I watched his conductor and pianist, and I didn't know who he was at the time. This was before I met him.
This is still not knowing Vinnie Falcone. Is that what you're telling us?
I watched him, and I said, will you be good enough to sing with this primo musician, Gary? And I worked and worked and worked, and I said, wow, I've got to sing with him someday. And Vincent Falcone, the maestro of my dream, is sitting right here with me, and we just finished that song.
Let's take a break. My guests are Gary Tanis Nassif, whose new CD, Sing, Romance Man, Sing, is now out and available at his website, Gary TanisNassif, NASSIF.com. He's also author of Stop Crying and Listen to the Music, a book that chronicles his struggles with stuttering and his father's abusive treatment. And with Gary, of course, is Vinnie Falcone, the sophisticated musical conductor, pianist, and author of his own book, Frankly, Just Between Us. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with more Nighttime with Ira in just a moment.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Now let's return to Nighttime with Ira.
Welcome back. I'm talking with Gary TanisNassif, whose new CD, Sing Romance Man Sing, is out now and available at his website, GaryTanisNassif.com. That's N-A-S-S-I-F. He is also the author of Stop Crying and Listen to the Music, a book that chronicles his struggles with stuttering and his father's abusive treatment. With Gary is Vinnie Falcone, musical conductor, pianist, and the author of his own book, Frankly, Just Between Us, which is, of course, his wonderful history with Frank Sinatra, who he was the musical conductor with for many, many years. Welcome back, guys! And
thank you.
Thank you.
We're gonna play another song in a moment, which is an upbeat song called "The Song Is You," which was also a Sinatra song.
Yes.
And Gary, if you looked at the singers that are out there or were out there for influence, who influenced you the most in terms of your particular style? You have your own style, but clearly everybody takes a little bit from people that preceded them.
You bet. Nat King Cole, Frank Sinatra, Mel Torme, Steve Lawrence, Jack Jones, and more.
Yeah, he couldn't pick a good singer to, you know.
No. But he didn't hesitate when I asked him. The guy Moore, Gary Moore, or who was it Moore? I don't think he sang. Dermot Kirby sang, but not Gary Moore. Were you surprised at how much you had achieved once you conquered the stuttering and you transcended your past, and they can read about it in your book. But were you surprised then how you were able to, well, just as you mentioned earlier, to get Vinnie Falcone on your side to be your musical director and composer and conductor on several songs?
Being with Vincent musically and personally as my friend is just, it's a gift. It really is a gift. This man plays under me like no other pianist has ever played. It's like he's feeling my pulse and my emotional system, and he works with it. This man is, well, he's part of my destiny. You know, we really are the architects of our own destiny, and when I sat listening to him and watching him direct Steve Lawrence, I said, I want to work with a man as great as this.
I have asked Vinnie to sit in with my own material because I'm a non-singer, and I had him sit at the piano and not play, and it worked out really well. Vinnie will tell you, right, Vinnie?
Yeah, it was great. Amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think we're confusing Gary here.
But
the one thing that I find interesting about you, Gary, is, and I've told you this over the phone when we've talked, is I feel that you are an old soul and part of what I termed old Hollywood.
I am. I was raised in the Palace Theater. When my dad used to get really mad at me and be very crushing and cruel to me, I would run to the Palace Theater and walk into the lonely darkness, and Doris Day was there, Rhonda Fleming was there, Esther Williams was there, and all the musical people. And that's why I'm so close to all of them. And they've all become personal friends.
Which you probably didn't anticipate.
No,
year from years ago.
No. When I started singing in Hollywood and in these fabulous nightclubs and cabarets, the stars that I went to see at the Palace Theater started coming to see me. That's the big irony of this whole thing.
So you were looking up when you were growing up,
yeah.
You were looking on the big screen, the
That's
silver
right.
screen, and now those people are coming off the silver screen yeah. and coming to see you.
Yes.
And then many of them became friends with you.
Isn't that a fabulous part
and
of
it? And what did they say when they met you? What was it about you that drew them to you? They obviously didn't know you were watching them years before. So what was it about you that drew them to you?
I hate to say this on the air, but it's true. They were drawn to me by my voice.
Why do you hate to say that on the air?
Well, it sounds immodest. And
well, it is, but if it's true, it's okay. You can be immodest and true. Look at Vinny. Not a problem.
Yeah, he did. You did follow my voice. And I love that. Thank you. But
That's what it was, the voice.
Yeah, my voice. And I thought my voice was ugly because I was a stutterer. And whatever came out of my mouth was ugly and fearful and everything. I'm totally free. And when I'm on stage, I'm a king to me.
In other words, when you're up on stage, there's no fear.
There's none. None. And I headlined at the Shrine Auditorium for 4,000 plus people. And during my songs and during my monologues, there was darkness in the theater and no sound from the theater. And I thought to myself, is anybody really listening? And until the end of the song, and I heard this thunderous applause, and I thought, wow.
So you found your home, which you already knew it was a home based on your background, but you really found your home when that happened.
That's right.
That makes sense.
Exactly.
I want to have you guys do one more number for me, and it's The Song Is You, which, Vinny, tell us a little bit about the background on The Song Is You with Sinatra.
Well, I recorded it with him on a triple album set called Trilogy. He had recorded it previous to that, but this was a more upbeat version of it. Billy May did the arrangement on it, and I love the song anyways, but that's the history of the song as far as Sinatra's concerned, and we treated it, Gary and I, in a similar fashion, that being a swing tune, and I hope you like it.
Let's hear it.
I hear music when I look at you, a beautiful theme of every dream I ever knew. Down deep in my heart, I hear it play. I feel it start, then melt away. I hear music when I touch your hand, a beautiful melody from some enchanted land. Down deep in my heart, I hear it say, is this the day? I alone have heard this lonely strain. I alone have heard this glad refrain. Oh, must it be forever inside of me? Why can't I let it go? Why can't I let you know? Why can't I let you know the song my heart would sing? That beautiful rhapsody of love, youth, and spring. Music is sweet, the words are true, the song is you. You. I alone have heard this lonely strain. I alone have heard this glad refrain. Oh, must it be forever inside of me? Why can't I let it go? Why can't I let you know? Why can't I let you know the song my heart would sing? That beautiful rhapsody of love, youth, and spring. The music is sweet, the words are true, the song is you. You.
The song is you. I like that's good. I like up-tempo songs. Just get your blood going.
I know. I love it.
And Vinny, whose blood usually isn't going, when he gets with that song is you, you could just tell. So, do you guys have fun together when you're recording?
Oh, sure. I mean, that's, you know, music is fun. That's, if you can't have fun, you shouldn't be doing it.
Do you think also the fact that you two work well together is because both of you have a great respect and love for what we call the Great American Songbook?
Unquestionably. Of course. Unquestionably.
Of course.
That was instilled in me even before I met Mr. Sinatra. I mean, those songs have tremendous meaning. If only, in my view, if only young artists would take the time to go back and listen to this, just as young musicians should go back and listen to Bach and Beethoven and Mozart, and realize the genius that preceded them. And then, if they have that kind of talent, then they can develop it because they know from whence it came. And but that's what I don't see happening in most cases. And it gets the reason being that there's not that depth of talent in everyone. And you have to have a depth of talent to be able to understand and get into that, just as in any art form, whether it be literature, painting, music, whatever. That's the necessity, in my view.
Gary, we have just about a couple of minutes left. Are you looking ahead in terms of another recording? I had an idea based on our conversation, and you'd still involve Vinny as well, and that is to record, if you want, sort of a duet similar to what Sinatra and Bennett did, but with some of the people that you have idolized over the years that you are friends with. Is that a possibility as a
well,
project?
Well, I'd like to, but it's not a possibility at this point. Vinny and I are going to work on my second album, and he has...
Why can't that be your second album? I just gave you a great idea.
I think it's a wonderful idea, but I think that Vinny and I have a wonderful idea for my next album, and it's going to be half Spanish and half English, but they're all romance songs from old Hollywood, from the golden age of Hollywood, and they're all deep love songs that are Latin, soft Latin. But I'd like to say something very important.
We have 30 seconds.
Okay. Vinny, to sing with Vinny is like having an entire symphony orchestra play for me.
See, he said
that's
that
how
just,
strong.
He said that just the way
please.
I wrote it.
No, really, really. When this man plays for me, I don't need anybody else. I really don't.
Well, then let's just keep it you and Vinny.
I think so.
Thanks for being on the show. I appreciate
it. Thank you. And Ira, you're wonderful.
Thank you, Gary. Gary Tanis Nassif, whose new CD, Sing Romance Sing, is out now and available at his website, GaryTanisNassif.com, Nassif. He's also author of Stop Crying and Listen to the Music, a book that chronicles his struggles with stuttering and his father's abusive treatment. And you can order that book online on his website as well. With Gary, the fabulous Vinnie Falcone, musical conductor, pianist, and author of his own book. And you should get it. It's a great read. Frankly, Just Between Us. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nice to be with you, Ira.
You've been listening to Nighttime with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. Join us next week at this same time. Anything you want us to be, bring us your fantasy.